Bhutesha. Lord Shiva's incarnation, Rudra. Vatsa, whose calf. Duduhu, milk out. Kapale, in a pot of skulls. Shataja, blood. Asavam, a fermented beverage. Verse by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Then the yakshas, rakshasas, ghosts and witches who are habituated to eating flesh transformed Lord Shiva's incarnation Rudra, Bhutanath, into a calf and milked out beverages made of blood and put them in a pot made of skulls. Purport. There are some types of living entities in the form of human beings whose living condition and eatables are most abominable. Generally, they eat flesh and fermented blood, which is mentioned in this verse as shatajasvam. The leaders of such degraded men, known as yakshas, rakshasas, bhutas, and pishachas, are all in the mode of ignorance. They have been placed under the control of Rudra. Rudra is the incarnation of the Lord Shiva and is in charge of the mode of ignorance in material nature. Another name of Lord Shiva is Bhutanath, meaning master of ghosts. Rudra was born from between Brahma's eyes when Brahma was very angry at the four Kumaras. So, here we see in the verse and the purport. The verse says, Bhutesha, Lord Shiva's incarnation, Rudra. And here in the purport, Prabhupada says, Rudra is the incarnation of Shiva. And here we find that he incarnates by manifesting from between the eyes of Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma was very angry. So anger is generally considered the mode of passion, that when one is very angry, to the point where one could commit violence, then we're talking about tamagun. When violence is involved, then it's tamagun. So often it is very hard to understand who is Lord Shiva. Very complicated. Who is this personality? What is his position? So there's this verse in the Brahma Samhita which gives indication of who Lord Shiva is, and in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sheds some very important light on the position of Lord Shiva. Shiram yata dadivikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahitata pritagasti etu ya sambhutam apitata samupaiti kaya govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect of curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So here is making the point that milk, when transformed by the acids, produces curd, dahi, yogurt, which is neither the same as nor different from milk. So how is Lord Shiva the same as, and yet he is not different from, the source, Vishnu? This is explained in the purport. Purport by Srila Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. The real nature of Shambhu, the presiding deity of Maheshdham, is described. Shambhu is not a second Godhead other than Krishna. Those who entertain such discriminating sentiment commit a great offense against the Supreme Lord. So Shambhu is not different. Huh? He's not a second Godhead. It is not that Shambhu is God and Vishnu is God. Vishnu is God. Shambhu comes from Krishna. Okay? The supremacy of Shambhu is subservient to that of Govinda. Hence, they are not really different from each other. The non-distinction is established by the fact that just as milk treated with acid turns to curd, so Godhead becomes a subservient when he himself attains a distinct personality by the addition of a particular element of adulteration.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Dandavat. So, here it is stated that the non-distinction is established when Godhead becomes subservient to himself, when he himself attains a distinct personality by the addition of a particular element. So Godhead becomes the servant of himself by the addition of a particular element. What is the addition of the element by which Godhead becomes a subservient personality to himself? The said adulterating principle is constituted of a combination of three things. One, the stupefying quality of the deluding energy. In other words, tamagun. Srila Saraswati Thakur uses very big words. The stupefying quality of the deluding energy. This is tamagun, mode of ignorance. The quality of non-plenitude of the marginal potency means there's a slight influence of the marginal potency, which is tathasta shakti or the jiva. And a slight degree of the ecstatic cum cognitive principle of the plenary spiritual potency. Some quality of Vishnu is also present. So three qualities are present, three things. This specifically adulterated reflection of the principle of the subjective portion of the divinity is Sarashiv in the form of masculine symbol god Shambhu. So now he's saying that this manifestation of Shambhu is coming from Sarashiv. Who is Sarashiv? Sarashiv is Sarashiv Vishnu, Narayan. In other words, the origin of Shambhu is in his original form is as Sadashiv Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets. So Krishna expands into Baladev, who is actually non-different from Krishna except he's white. Baladev expands into four, Chaturvyuha. What are the Chaturvyuha? Pradumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, and Sankarshan. That Sankarshan expands again into another four. But from that first Sankarshan, not only those that second four come, but all the Narayan forms in Vaikuntha come. And this Sadashiv form also manifests from Sankarshan. So this Sadashiv form is also Narayan, but he's also Sadashiv. And he exists right on the edge, the Viraja River. Jai Sri Sri Radha Rasadi Hari Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Sri Sri Ram Lachman Janaki Hanuman Ki Jai. So on the Viraja River, there's two banks. One bank is the bank that is on the Vaikuntha side, and the other bank is the bank that is on the material side of the material universe. The Karanajal, Vishnu. So the bank that is on the side of the material, that is Shambhu, Mahesh Dham. And the bank that is on the side of the spiritual, that is Sadashiv Dham. Okay? Same personality. One is Sadashiv Narayan. One is Shambhu Mahesh Mahadev. Now he's saying, from Sadashiv comes this Mahesh, this Shambhu. What is the purpose of Shambhu? Why Shambhu has to manifest? Because Vishnu never touches this material nature. Not even the glance of Vishnu, which is Vishnu, can touch the material nature. So when the glance of Vishnu is coming on this Pradhan, the unmanifest, the undifferentiated material energy, the glance of Vishnu is touching the undifferentiated material energy. But can the glance touch that? No. It cannot touch the material nature. What touches the material nature? The halo around the glance. What is the halo around the glance? Shambhu. So here is the why Sadashiv manifests as Shambhu Mahesh, so that he protects the glance of Vishnu from touching Pradhan, the material nature. You understand this? Therefore, this is why Shambhu manifests. Shambhu in this halo form is what? Linga. And what is Pradhan? In this Brahma Samhita, it explains that Srimati Radhika expands as Rama Devi. Rama Devi casts a shadow on the Brahma Jyoti. That shadow is Pradhan. Durga means that it is appears to be a real substance, but it is not. It is a shadow. A shadow has the same form as the body, but it is not the body. It appears like the body, but it is not the body. If you go to touch the shadow, you cannot touch anything. It is simply an illusion. But if you touch the body, then you feel something real. Similarly, this shadow of Rama Devi is a shadow of Vaikuntha, of the spiritual world. Whatever is present there is present here. But here it is reflection, perverted, illusory, temporary. It will disappear in a second. So therefore this shadow, Pradhan, is Durga, Yoni. Linga, Yoni, first manifestation of creation is an act of love between Shambhu and Shakti. And what is the semen that gives birth to the separation of all the elements? The jivas, marginal potency, coming in the glance of Mahavishnu. So the first act is this. So this is why Shambhu must manifest. And then for the manifestation of destruction, now to destroy this universe, Shambhu incarnates as Rudra, the supreme personification of anger and violence. And the 11 Rudras dance on the different aspects of the universe in the 14 divisions and break down this material universe, and then the universe is destroyed. So in this way, there is three manifestations of Shiva. So because Shiva is in partially manifest, because Mahesh is partially manifest of Tamagun, therefore he deals with everything in the universe that's Tamagun. So when they churn the ocean of milk and the poison comes out, poison is tamagun, he deals with poison. Catches it in his neck and holds it here. So when the yakshas, rakshasas, pishachas, all these ghostly and bhutas, all the ghostly entities, demoniac entities who eat flesh, want shelter, where can they get shelter? Shiva. Shiva is the shelter of those personalities. Shiva is the one who gives them opportunity to find material body in human form. When two people are having illicit relations, not based on the teachings of Vedas, not based on the principles of scripture, and especially when they're having in the evening time, at that time, Shiva, he travels throughout this world and he gives the Bhutas human body. Okay, here. Now you get human body. Now you get human body. Now you get human body. They serve Lord Shiva in order to get his mercy so that they will get a human form so that they can perform the karmic activities they need to get out of this material world. So we see in modern civilization there are so many destructive persons, so many angry, violent, destructive persons, because so many Buddhas are being given birth by the mercy of Lord Shiva, because so many people are having illicit sexual connection not according to Vedic Dharmic rites. Therefore, due to these illicit sexual activities, Buddhas are coming in a larger quantity in the world, so more destructive, angry, violent people. So this is nature of this material world, huh? Influence of tamagun, mode of ignorance. So in this way we get to understand Lord Shiva. We get to understand mode of ignorance. This is also why the Puranas are divided into three sections. Those Puranas which bring you from tamagun to sattvagun, to rajagun. Huh? Six Puranas. Then six Puranas to bring you from rajagun to sattvagun. Then six Puranas to bring you from sattvagun to Vishuddha Sattva. So what does it mean, six Puranas brings you from tamagun to rajagun? In tamagun, there is no harnessing the senses. As we see in Western countries today, people just eat flesh, have sex, drink wine, drink alcohol, take drugs. They enjoy senses unrestrictedly. So, in these six Puranas that are in the mode of ignorance, to help the person to go from tamagun to rajagun, some yajnas are given, some mantras are given, some rituals are given to try and harness control of the senses. Okay, you want to eat flesh? Fine. First, you chant mantra in the ear of the goat, "My dear goat, I'm killing you. I'll eat you. Next life, you will kill me. You'll eat me." Like this, some ritual is given to try and help the person control the desire for flesh eating. That by reciting this mantra and controlling this desire, then gradually he gets control of his tamagun, and he realizes that it is better I should do other rituals which are higher. Rituals in rajagun to bring me to sattvagun. Understand? Then there's some ritual for offering wine to Devi. Then you can drink the wine. There's some ritual to perform before having sex so that your sex becomes sanctified. In this way, there are rituals for doing the different things that are given in the tamagun shastras, the six Puranas which are bringing you from tama to raja. So that helps to control the lower entities, control the lower, baser qualities of material nature, and bring you to a higher platform. But in Kali Yuga, going through this complicated system of these rituals, then the rituals in rajagun which bring you to sattvagun, then the rituals in sattvagun that bring... All this is eliminated in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, directly by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, by taking up the Kali Yuga Dharma, then one can very quickly get to the platform of love of Godhead. Very quickly, tamagun and rajagun are defeated, sattvagun is established, and Vishuddha Sattva very quickly comes into the heart. So therefore, the process of hearing and chanting the holy name and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Kali Yuga is the recommended process, or the Yuga Dharma of the age. Therefore, it is considered that Kali Yuga is very blessed, in spite of the fact that it is the most difficult Yuga. Life is short, memory is short, strength, energy, health is short, so many things are short, so many things are weak, so many things are small. In spite of all of these things being like this, the process for advancing in spiritual life is very easy, very simple, very direct. Chant the holy name. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam kalu, nasteva, 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 gattiranyata. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this very simple process of chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of the sadhus in the parampara, and very quickly one can elevate oneself to the spiritual platform. So what is the process that Mahaprabhu has given in Bhakti Yoga? Process is divided into three portions. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. Sambandha means establishing one relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, with the Guru. So, who is the Sambandha Acharya? Sanatan Goswami. Sambandha Thakurji, Madan Mohan, Sanatan Goswami's Thakurji. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami Maharaj, who was a very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only wrote 8 verses, but he spoke volumes through his 2 chief Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan. Through them, the knowledge of Sambandha Gyan and Abhideya, Rupa Goswami, was the Abhideya Acharya, and his deity Govindaji is the Abhideya Thakur. And the Prayojan Acharya is Raghunath Das Goswami, and his deity is Gopina. Prayojan means the goal. Abhideya means the process. Sambandha means the relationship. Developing the relationship. So, Sanatana Goswami teaches us how to develop our relationship with Guru and Krishna. Hari Bhakti Vilas is filled with all the rules and regulations by which one can understand how to develop one's sambandha, one's relationship with Krishna. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a very deep and beautiful, lucid explanation of how to understand sambandha, how to understand relationships, how Gop Kumar is traveling through the different levels of the universe, trying to understand who is the greatest devotee, who is the greatest bhakta, what is the greatest level. What is the sambandha in the material world? What is sambandha in spiritual world in Vaikuntha? What is sambandha in Goloka? So all sambandhas, everything is all established here in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He is giving all sambandha, all knowledge of sambandha or relationship with Krishna on every different level, in terms of relationship with Guru, in terms of relationship with this material world, in terms of relationship with Vaikuntha, in terms of relationship with Goloka. All sambandhas are established there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. By studying Brihad Bhagavatamrita under the guidance of sadhu, one can understand sambandha, relationship. So why Sanatana Goswami has left this world on Guru Purnima, Vyas Purnima? Because there is no sambandha without sambandha with Guru. You cannot have sambandha with Krishna unless you have sambandha with Guru. Because who is Guru? Guru is external manifestation of Krishna. Guru comes in many forms, but Guru is one. Guru comes at Vartmana Padarshika Guru. Vartmana Padarshika Guru is that person who shows you the path. All of you are acting as Vartmana Pradarshika Gurus, because every day you are preaching to people, and every day you are inviting them to come here and hear about Krishna, to read Prabhupada's books, to understand the path. And so many persons are coming on the path by your introduction. Therefore, you are Vartmana Pradarshika Guru. You are introducing people to the path of bhakti. Then there is Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. Diksha Guru is one, only one. You get Diksha from one Guru. You don't get Diksha from many Gurus. You get Diksha from one Guru. Very important to understand Diksha. Who is Diksha Guru? Diksha Guru is the Roop of Krishna, the form of Krishna. And who is Shiksha Guru? He is Swarup, the nature and mood of Krishna. Diksha and Shiksha. In many cases, the Diksha Guru will also be Shiksha Guru. He will give the Swarup. He will give the Swarup Gyan, the knowledge of Shiksha. He will give you the knowledge of your spiritual form, the knowledge of your relationship with Krishna. He will give all these things. Very important to understand, Diksha and Shiksha, Srila Prabhupada says, one who does not recognize that Diksha and Shiksha Guru are equal manifestations of Godhead commits offense in the practice of bhakti. So Diksha and Shiksha Guru are both manifestations of, external manifestations of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is very merciful. He travels with the living entity forever. It is said that the jiva has been conditioned since time immemorial. But since time immemorial, Paramatma has been with us through everything. There is nothing that you can do that has been hidden from Paramatma. And Paramatma, Krishna, loves you no matter what you do. No matter what sin you commit, no matter what offense you commit, no matter what crime you commit, Krishna doesn't stop loving you. Paramatma never leaves your association. Paramatma always stays with you. He never says, oh, this jiva is impossible, therefore I'm leaving. I am not staying here in the heart of this jiva anymore. I'm going out because he is never understanding anything properly, so I will leave. No, never. Okay, doesn't matter. You have committed this aparad, that crime, this sin, that sin. Okay, still I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you. You just look at me. I'm here. So then, very mercifully, he manifests as Guru. External manifestation of Krishna is Guru. He comes to speak with you directly. He comes to give you instruction directly. Okay, here's how you can turn your face to me. Here's how you can see me. This is very important to understand. Here's how you can understand my position. So all this Sambandha Gyan about Guru Tattva, this was taught to Sanatana Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he explains these things in his books, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Hari Bhakti Vilas, etc. Therefore, it is very important to understand that the relationship with Guru is the initial sambandha, the initial relationship, most important relationship. The relationship with Krishna comes due first with Guru. First you establish your relationship with Guru. First you see Guru as all in all. First you develop intimate relationship with Guru. This is called Vishramba Seva. Vishramba Seva. Vishramba Seva means intimate service to Guru. Does that mean that you can only perform intimate service to Guru by being his personal servant and washing his body, washing his clothes, cooking his meals and serving him like this? Is this the only Vishramba Sevak? Is it? Yes or no? No. One can be Vishramba Sevak even if one has very little association with Guru. How much association Prabhupada had with Guru? Only a few weeks. But Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam, Rupa Goswami, he associated with Mahaprabhu only a little bit in Jagannath Puri, a little bit in Prayag. But Manubhishta, he understood the heartmost desire of Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he was able to write so many books about the inner meaning of Rasa Tattva and the process of practicing bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, etc. He was able to give intimate understanding of Mahaprabhu's heart, the meaning that Mahaprabhu, the purpose of his coming to this world, why he is here and what he is trying to do. Jai Sri Sri Gauranga Tai Radha Rasa Bihari Sri Ram Lachman Janaki Hanuman Ki. He is able to give so much deep information, even though he had only a small amount of time with Mahaprabhu. So, similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he only had a small amount of time with Srila Saraswati Thakur. But he understood the inner heart's desire of Srila Saraswati Thakur. He understood what he wanted. He understood the mission of spreading this process of Krishna consciousness all over the world. This was always understood by Srila Prabhupada and by Srila Saraswati Thakur, that he would be the person who would spread the mission all over the world. During the 70s here in Bombay, there was one brahmachari from the Gaudiya Math. He used to come here because he was there during the time when Srila Prabhupada established the Bombay Gaudiya Math. When Srila Prabhupada was living here in Bombay and establishing his medical business, he also established the Gaudiya Math for Srila Saraswati Thakur. And when he established that Gaudiya Math, one brahmachari was living there. And he knew about the intimate pastimes between Prabhupada and Srila Saraswati Thakur during that time when a Gaudiya Math was established. So that time when the Gaudiya Math was being established and they were going to put the deities, Srila Saraswati Thakur came here with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother. And they established the murti. Srila Saraswati Thakur installed Radha Gandharva Ki Giri Hari and Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this brahmachari told us that one day he was in the room with Srila Saraswati Thakur and Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj told Srila Saraswati Thakur, you should make a bai, the mutt commander in charge of Gaudiya Math, because he has done everything to establish this Gaudiya Math, so you should make him in charge of that. Srila Saraswati Thakur said, no. I have a much bigger service for him to do than to establish, be in charge of this mutt. Much bigger service. I am not giving him this service. Then he told about another incident when they were having one conversation. In the room was Narottamananda Brahmachari, who used to be the editor of Amrita Bazaar Patrika. So he was a very learned person in English, Bengali, Hindi, very learned, very educated. And Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, was in the room. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was in the room. Srila Saraswati Thakur, this brahmachari, they were sitting in the room together. So, having one discussion, Srila Saraswati, they were discussing who will go to the west to preach, who is going next, because Ban Maharaj, he had just returned from the west by boat. He had just come back and he had not been very successful. In fact, when he arrived, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj met him at the boat. So they sat him down and they started discussing with him. What was this like, preaching in West? How are the Westerners? What is their idea? What is their conception? What is it like? So Ban Maharaj said, oh, very difficult, very difficult. They ask very difficult questions. You cannot preach to them. Their questions are very complicated. You cannot answer these questions. So Sridhar Maharaj kept saying, tell me the question. Well, finally, he started telling one question, then another question, then another question. Each question, Srila Maharaj completely answered the question and defeated it. Then Prabhupada stood up and said, "Today, the East has defeated the West." So in this conversation, they were trying to decide who will go to the West next. Who will preach in the West next? So that time, Srila Saraswati Thakur looked at Narottamananda. He said, "Narottamananda is very learned. He speaks excellent English. He should go next to preach in the West." And Narottamananda began crying, "Oh Guru Maharaj, please don't give me this order. How can I leave your lotus feet? What I will do there in the West alone? I don't know how I can preach there. You please don't give me this order." Saraswati Thakur said, okay, don't cry. All right, don't worry. I will not give you this order. Besides, Abhai Babu, he will go to the West and do everything." So it was always understood between Srila Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada that he will be the person to go and do it. Always understood. There was never any question. There's another story about this. In this story, Srila Saraswati Thakur, now they sent, next person they sent to the West was Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. He met with King George, some things he did, but no establishing any preaching center, no real mission. He came back. So this was the Navadvip Parikram in 1936, the last Navadvip Parikram before Srila Saraswati Thakur left this world. So in this Parikram, Srila Saraswati Thakur gave one lecture. In front were all the sannyasis and brahmacharis. To the sides were the grihasthas and ladies. Saraswati Thakur said, "Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested me to preach the mission of Mahaprabhu in the Western world, and because my saintly mother, Bhagavati Devi, requested me on her deathbed that I must preach mission of Mahaprabhu in Western world, so because of their request, I have given the lifeblood of Gaudiya Math in the form of this money to send preachers to the West. But up till now, they have not been successful." So then, at this point, he stopped speaking a minute and he turned to look to where the grihasthas were standing. So one devotee who is relating this story said at first he thought that Srila Saraswati Thakur was looking at him, but then he realized Saraswati Thakur was looking behind him. He turned to look and there was Prabhupada. Prabhupada was standing there. And the two of them were looking at each other in a very deep way, nearly in tears. Then suddenly Srila Saraswati Thakur turned again to the front and he said, "I'm going to make a prediction today, that whosoever shall go to the West next, no matter how long it takes that person to go, when he goes to the Western world to preach, he will return to India with the whole world." This prediction Srila Saraswati Thakur made. So it was always understood, only Srila Prabhupada, only our Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, only he will fulfill this dear desire of Srila Saraswati Thakur. This is Vishramba Seva. Understanding what is the innermost heart's desire of your Guru Maharaj and fulfilling that desire. This is Vishramba Seva. If you understand this, then you will get sambandha with your Guru. And then you will get, he will transfer that sambandha, that deep relationship that you have established with him, he will transfer it to Krishna, and Krishna will be revealed within your heart. This is sambandha gyan taught by Srila Sanatana Goswami. One should understand what is sambandha gyan. One should understand what is the process of Sambandha Gyan. Establishing one's relationship with the Guru and understanding his innermost heart desire and rendering Vishramba Seva, intimate service to Guru in this mood. So this is what is done on Guru Purnima. On Guru Purnima, one worships one's Guru and begs the Guru with great hankering, greed. This greed is a kind of hankering, lamentation. My Guru Maharaj, I am a very worthless person. How Srila Prabhupada wrote to Saraswati Thakur only a few weeks before he left this world, he wrote one letter. What was the nature of that letter? This is the mood you use to approach the sadhu, your guru. Here he's saying, my dear Guru Maharaj, you please forgive me. I am householder. I am not close to you. I am very far. I am engaged in grihastha ashram. I am not able to do any intimate service to you. I am not able to render direct service to you like the brahmacharis and sannyasis. I cannot do much for preaching mission. I have not done... What is his mood? Very humble. That I am insignificant person. Prabhupada is teaching us in that letter, what is mood? Oh, you please kindly give me some instruction, something that I should do. And so Srila Saraswati Thakur sent him letter. Yes, you kindly preach in English language in Western world. This is my instruction to you. From that sentence, he understood the innermost heart's desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Saraswati Thakur. What was his innermost heart desire? That my father and mother begged me to please preach mission of Mahaprabhu in West, but I have not been able to be successful. That was his innermost desire, to fulfill the order of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhagavati Devi. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada took that innermost heart's desire of Srila Saraswati Thakur and fulfilled it. This is Vishramba Seva. This is how you get sambandha with Guru Maharaj. This is how you get sambandha with Krishna. This is sambandha gyan given by Srila Sanatan Goswami Maharaj. This is why he leaves on this day, Guru Purnima. Because sambandha begins with Guru. If there is no sambandha with Guru, then there is no sambandha with Krishna. Your sambandha with Krishna must come through Guru. Must come in this way. This. Only this. So try to see how our founder Acharya of ISKCON has taught the proper mood of approaching the Guru for sambandha gyan. How he has executed his sambandha gyan in Vishramba Seva in separation from his Guru. How his Guru Maharaj was always with him in the mood of separation by executing the orders of his Guru. Try to understand this. And if you understand this today and worship your Guru with the proper mood, then you will start to develop sambandha gyan with your Guru, and eventually that will be your success in Krishna consciousness. So, is there any questions you want to ask? Okay, you weren't just scratching your arm, you actually had a question. He kept going like this. I'm wondering, is he scratching or he has a question?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
First of all, I have welcomed you in temple.
Huh?
First of all, I have welcomed you and your lotus feet comes in.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
The question is that you have mentioned about some few minutes, few times spent with Prabhupada in India.
Yes.
Please.
Oh, you want me to tell another story about Prabhupada? Okay. All right, I will tell another story, but first I want to see if any question. Anybody has? Ladies have? Ladies? Ladies have one question. Wait, then let ladies ask.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what if a disciple is not fortunate enough to understand the mood of the Guru? I mean, what exactly, like you said, a Visambar Seva, what if he doesn't understand that?
You want to know what if he doesn't understand?
Yeah, if he's not fortunate enough to understand that, he's just more into mechanical sadhana, bhakti, then what hope does he have?
Then what the disciple must do is approach the Guru and beg for his mercy. That you please help me. Right now I am only chanting mechanically. I am worshipping you mechanically. I am doing puja mechanically. You please bless me that I will get some spontaneous attraction to your lotus feet and try to fulfill your innermost desires. You please help me and bless me to come from the mechanical platform to the spontaneous platform. You please bless me and help me, because only by the mercy of the sadhu can you move from mechanical to spontaneous. So you beg your Guru Maharaj, please give me that. Please give me this blessing that I can understand what is your innermost heart desire, and I can actually have agreed to serve that desire, and I can make this desire of yours the purpose of my life, and I can always be attracted to fulfilling your desire, and that all the desires for satisfying my senses and enjoying this material world will become subservient to the one desire to fulfill your innermost heart's desire. You have to beg for the mercy of Guru. As I was giving the example the other day in the lecture on Sunday, there are two things, monkey and cat. Monkey philosophy, cat philosophy. First, you have to be like monkey. What is the monkey? Baby monkey has to hold on to mother monkey. If baby monkey doesn't hold on, what will happen? Will mother monkey try to pick her up? No. So first you have to be like monkey. Hold on to mother monkey. Hold on to Guru's feet very tightly. When you show sufficient greed that you will not let go of the lotus feet of Guru, that you will serve the Guru no matter what, that you will overcome any obstacle, that even if you slip and fall and make mistake, you will get up and again you will begin. When you show the Guru that kind of determination, then he will come like cat and pick you up and carry you and take you to Krishna. You understand? But first you must be like monkey. Okay?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Now this Prabhu.
Maharaj, as you were saying about Lord Shiva, that is when Lord Vishnu, he glances at the material nature, and you were mentioning about the glancing, that is at the end there is the halo.
I'm sorry, you're talking too fast and too low. So I'm not hearing what you're saying. Go slowly and explain what you're saying. I don't understand right now. That I'm talking about Lord Shiva, that he what?
So when Lord Vishnu was glancing at the material nature.
Yes.
So the glancing,
the halo around the glance is Shambhu, Shiva.
So can we consider the halo as the time element? That is
no, the time element is injected within the glance. That's stated in the Bhagavatam. The time element is injected with the glance. That comes with the glance. You could consider it like that if you want, but it says when Vishnu glances on the material nature, okay, that the jivas and the paramatma enter into this material nature, which now animates it. Otherwise it's dead matter. It becomes animate by the entrance of the jivas and by the entrance of Paramatma. Now the modes of material nature are awoken, and the time element now enters and begins. But I've never read anywhere where it says that Shambhu is the time element. So if I haven't read it anywhere, I can't speculate. I can only give what is given in Shastra.
But if we...
What I've read is that the time element comes in with the glance. Now whether that's Shambhu or not, I don't know, because I never read anywhere that Shambhu is the time element. So I'm not going to speculate and tell you that Shambhu is the time element because I never read it. Then I'm not being a proper transmitter of Shastra according to Parampara. I can only repeat what I've heard either from Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra. I cannot speculate on my own with my limited material mind, which is influenced by the modes of nature. You understand? Okay, now I will tell another. I told so many stories about Prabhupada, but... Oh, okay, one more question. Give that. Yes.
Maharaj, is there any difference between Sadashiva and Vishnu?
Sadashiva is Narayan. He is a form of Narayan. He's one of the expansions of Narayan. You understand? He's in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha. He has a Vaikuntha planet. He is a Narayan form. Sadashiva is a Narayan form. Now, that's what it says here. You read what it says. This specifically adulterated reflection of the principle of the subjective portion of the divinity is Sadashiva in the form of the effulgent masculine symbol god Shambhu. In other words, Shambhu is the adulterated reflection of Sadashiva, who is Narayan, the divinity Narayan. You understand? He says here, the subjective portion of the divinity, Sadashiv, in the form of Shambhu. So Sadashiv is the divinity, he is the form of Narayan, whose subjective portion is Shambhu. You understand? It's a complicated sentence because Srila Saraswati Thakur learned English in a very complicated way. The story of how he learned English is that he didn't know yet English language. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, when he was about 12, he took one room in the house and he said, from now on, this room is the Brahmachari Ashram. My sisters cannot come, my mother cannot come, no woman can come in here, this is Brahmachari Ashram. This whole place is only for Brahmachari. He was very strict. Then he went after some time to library and he took out all the books of all of the British philosophers, Benham and others, very high complicated Mediterranean English language. Then he took those books and went to his room, closed the door. He was there for several days. When he came out, he could speak English. He learned all his English from the books of these philosophers. So that's why his English is so complex. His sentences are so long and complicated. Very, very elevated knowledge of English. Okay, let me tell one story about Prabhupada because now it's 5 to 9, then 9 o'clock will come, we'll end, okay? So one time here in Bombay, we wanted to do one play of Lord Nrisingadev. He was Nrisinga Chaturdasi. So this mandap, dance mandap, it had one roof. And there was pillars, little metal posts on the corners, okay? So we, because this is Bombay, we went to one place and we got all the outfits. So I played Nrisingadev. I had a full outfit with Nrisingadev head, with crown, everything like this, okay? But I wanted to surprise Srila Prabhupada and everyone. So what I did is I got one big straw mat and I wrapped the straw mat around the pillar at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I put a chair in there and I sat on that chair in the full outfit. No one could see me. And no one could see inside that round straw mat. And no one had any idea I was in there. And no, everyone ignored it. By Krishna's mercy, no one thought, what is this mat? Why is it here? Why is it wrapped around the pillar? They all ignored it. Everyone came. Now the whole mandap and down is all full up with hundreds of people. Prabhupada is sitting on Vyasasan. Now the play is there. So Jagat Purush played Hiranyakashipu. Navyagendra Maharaj played Prahlad. And I played Nrisingadev. And Sridhar Maharaj, he was the narrator. So it was an all-star cast. So it was up to Sridhar Maharaj. He had to do the roaring in the microphone because I could not burst out of the pillar and roar in the microphone at the same time. So he had to do the roaring. So comes to the time now when Hiranyakashipu is going to hit the pillar. So he hits the pillar and I burst out of the pillar and Sridhar Maharaj is going like this in the microphone. So of course I have these little holes in the head, you know, the headdress on. I have these little holes. All I can see is Hiranyakashipu. So I go right for him. I pick up Jagat Purush like this. I put him on my lap. I tear him open. He's got some tube underneath there. I pull the tube out. I wrap it around my neck, the whole thing. So later on, the devotees told me that Prabhupada, he had no idea I was in the pillar. And when I came out, he was sitting there and he saw me and he went like this. So then he started to clap that I came out like this. So he was very happy. He said, oh, all of you have played very, very nice drama, especially Jagat Purush, Mr. Hiranyakashipu. He has shown what is the real mentality of materialistic demon. And Prahlad was a very sweet, and Nrisingadev was a very frightening. So thank you very much. And he clapped, and then everyone was very happy. So this happened here in that old place in Juhu. Thank you very much. Dandavat Pranam. Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.